Lord, we do thank you for a beautiful day today. We thank you for your goodness and your graciousness in our lives. And we thank you for the word of God that you've given to us, where you have revealed your will for our lives very clearly. And we have the written word of God, and we thank you for it today. We pray that you would bless as we study your word today. We do pray for these special needs. Think of Billy Green today with his been in the hospital now. Continue to touch him and to raise him up. Continue to pray for Robin and Joyce as they're going through these treatments for cancer. Continue to pray for Jan as she's recovering from knee surgery and or a knee replacement. And Lord, others that have physical needs today, we pray you'd minister to them, encourage their hearts. Do have many traveling today. We pray you'd watch over them, keep them safe as they travel. And Lord, just bless our time delving into the Word of God this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Happy birthday, Joe. You tried to sneak in. No way. It's Joe's birthday this week.
It's my birthday.
He is. Joe's shy and bashful, you know. He has a hard time. Good. We're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Joe. If you want to get both those Bibles, you can open them and you'll be a spiritual guy. This morning, I want to start by just having you look around at the people around you, okay? Go ahead. Just look around. Look around at the people around you. You're all smiling. This is funny. You must never look at anybody when you come to Sunday school. You just, I'm in my chair. Now, when you do that, you see all kinds of different people. Now, think of the differences that we have. We're obvious differences physically. Some are tall, some are not so tall. Some are slender, some are not so slender. Some have hair, some don't quite have hair. Lots and lots of differences, but it's really much deeper than that. Our personalities are all different. We all are on different planes spiritually. We all have different spiritual backgrounds. Financially, we all have different financial standings. We have different education, different backgrounds. I mean, you think about it, folks. There are a lot of differences between us in the church family. Now, do you have any responsibility toward the people in this class? You just looked around at a lot of people. Now, some of you are sitting by your husband, your wife, and there's no doubt you have responsibilities there. But does Micah have responsibilities to David Rush? Now, by the way, David, we're praying for, he's got a heart cath of fifth this week. Does David Rush have responsibilities to David Ellison? Does Christy have obligations to Christy? I'm getting all the people that have same names. Isn't that neat? Do we have obligations? Now, as a staff member, I have obligations to you. There's no doubt about that. As your teacher, I have obligations towards you. But what about between the sheep? Okay? Do the sheep have obligations to each other? Undoubtedly we do. So if we do, it's important, number one, that we know what? What are they? And how should we interact with each other? How should we minister to each other? In chapter four, verse 14 of 15 of 1 Thessalonians 5, we're going to study five different kinds of people that are found in the church. And our obligation to those people is listed. Now look, I think sometimes when we come to church, we are here to be ministered unto, and that is part of it. The Word of God should minister to you. But do you realize when you come to church, you should also come to minister to others? In fact, as we study this passage, you're going to see that we have obligations to minister to each other in very specific ways. So let's see the five different kinds of people and how they are to be treated, okay? And by the way, you may find yourself in this passage. You may be one of these people. If you are, that's okay. We'll know how to treat you, okay? All right, verse 14 and 15. And he starts out, "Now we exhort you, brethren." Now let me stop there, because that word exhort is a word you know. Many of you are Greek scholars, and you know the word that is in this passage, but you don't see it normally translated exhort. Here's the word, parakaleo. Now you know that word, don't you? Some of you do. Some of you are saying, huh? That's not hillbilly. I don't know that. What is parakaleo? To come alongside, and that's one of the names of the Holy Spirit. The comforter, the one who comes alongside. So Paul starts out and he says, Micah Johnson, you have an obligation to come alongside and minister to people. Here's the exhortation. Here he says, I want you to parakaleo, come alongside and minister to these people. Now, notice the five different groups. Number one, warn them that are unruly. Okay, you say, boy, that's me, okay? Comfort the feeble-minded. And some of you are saying, I really know that's me, okay? And then he says, support the weak. And he says, be patient toward all men. And finally, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. So here we go. Five different groups of people, five different kinds of people, and how we are to minister to them. Number one, back in verse 14, he says, warn them that are unruly. So number one, we're going to talk about the wayward. The wayward. How many of you were in the army? All right, good. What's one of the first things they teach you to do in the army? Stand at attention. Now they got you standing at attention, what do they want you to do? They want you to learn to march. I've never been in the army. I don't have a clue what I'm talking about, but I assume this is the case. I've been in marching band. Does that count? And when you watch these guys in parade, every guy is supposed to put their left foot forward at the same time. And it's always interesting if you watch and they have white shoes on and you see one guy right in the middle and the guy's out of step. You know, you got 75 guys just in cadence. I mean, right together, you know, boom, boom. You got one guy in the middle going, hey, you know. And that's what the word means. It's a military term that means out of step or out of line. Now, the simple matter of fact is there are a lot of believers in the church that are just out of line. They're out of step. Now, I thank the Lord for the many we have that are in step. This last week, I was finalizing all of our Bible school workers, and I needed some of our guys that work on the buses to help in the classes. And every one of them I called, and I needed a preschool teacher. And every person I called said, hey, whatever you want me to do, I will be glad to do it. Those people were in step. You know, this is the program. Hey, we're in step. We're with it, man. We're here to do it. We're going to give our best. We're going to fill the spot. They're on board. They're part of the team. But that's not what this person is. These people are just the opposite. They're just out of sync, you know. The church is moving one direction in unity, and they're off over here just merrily marching away, you know. They're out of step. They're the unruly. They're the ones that are wayward. Typically, these kind of people are critical, very critical of what's going on. They're not happy with the direction of the church. That's one reason they're out of step. Now, it may be apathy or it may be just straight out rebellion, but they're always going cross grain to what's going on in the church. The pastor is setting a program to go one direction, and oh, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard, and oh, can you believe he's going to do that, and oh, this is just terrible, and then they're off over here in the fringe marching away to the beat of their own drum, always questioning the rules of the church, what's going on in the church. They're just wayward. Now, I hope you're not sitting there this morning saying, boy, that's me. If it is, there's a way to deal with those kind of people. By the way, and don't raise your hand, do you know some people at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church that would kind of fit that description? Again, don't raise your hand. Don't stand up and tell me who they are, okay? How do you deal with those kind of people? Well, he tells us. He says, look, he said, if you have unruly people, these people who are wayward, they're out of step, you need to warn them. You need to warn them. And this idea is you come along and you tell them, look, if you continue the way you're going, rough times are ahead. And you let them know what the consequences of, and you point out their critical spirit. Boy, I hope you do that. I hope if somebody were to come to you in the church and say, boy, that seaman, he is, I don't have a clue what in the world he's doing, and because he doesn't have a clue what he's doing. I hope that you will not say, boy, you're right, he is an idiot. I mean, I don't know what's going on. You know what? As a believer in a church, you know what you ought to say? You know, if you have a problem with what he's doing, you ought to go talk to him. By the way, if you have a problem with what the pastor's doing, what should you do? Go talk to him. It's ironic how often the pastoral staff are the last ones to know when people are upset. Because they don't tell us. Now, I'll just be honest with you. If I don't know if you're upset, I can't do a thing about it. If, you know, you may be right. It may be stupid. But if somebody doesn't come and tell me it's stupid, how am I going to know? You know, that's the dumbest thing. Being critical, folks, is when you go to somebody and you complain about something they have nothing to do with and they can do nothing about. That's like kind of the weather. Mark, I just hate this weather. It's just terrible. Well, what can Mark do about it? You know? Look, folks, if there are people that you know in the church that are unruly, they are out of step, you have an obligation as a church member to warn them. You know what? Your critical spirit is hurting you, and if you continue with it, it's going to hurt those around you. And I'll tell you one thing. If you're a parent and you have a critical spirit about the church, it's going to destroy your children. And when you've got a problem, you say, well, I'm going to call Pastor Joe and have him come over. And they'll say, what? You don't even like him. Why should I listen to him? See, he said, look, there are people, even in the body of Christ, which is made up of saved sinners, and they're wayward. They're unruly. Now, believe it or not, you, as a member of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church or an attendee at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, you have a responsibility as a believer to the other sheep. And our responsibility is to warn them and let them know, hey, look, man, this is not good. This is not good. And they need to be warned, all right? By the way, when you do that, how should you do it? In love. You're always to speak the truth, but you always speak it in love. Speak the truth in love. Okay? All right, secondly, so there's the wayward. Secondly, the worried. The worried. Look at this. And he says, now we exhort your brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded. Now, when we hear the word feeble-minded today, we typically think of someone who is you know, a French fry short of a Happy Meal, you know, or elevator doesn't go to the top floor, those kind of things. That's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about mental problems, because some of you already had somebody in mind, you know. Yeah. No, it's not talking about that. The word means small-souled. It is a timid, fearful Christian. While the wayward are on the fringe testing all the boundaries, the fearful are sitting in the middle going, oh, I don't know what's going to happen, but it's going to be bad, you know? You know people like that, don't you? What? We're going to replace the shrubs. They've been there 40 years. What if the new ones die? What if it doesn't look good, you know? If there's something that's, you know, we got these new bylaws, and I guarantee you there's some in the church, oh no, pastor's changing the church, we're going down here, we're becoming liberals, it's all over, it's history, it's bad, bad, bad. We shouldn't change anything. You say, how do you know there are kind of people like that? Because they usually come to me when pastor changes something. He moved the offering to the end of the service. What are we going to do? This is terrible. Now, I know change can be bad. But there are people in our church, and I could name several of them, but I'm not going to. If you want to come to be private, no. and they just get shook up about everything. You know, their favorite phrase is, you know, we just ain't never done it that way before. You know, if you're in the choir, we have a cantata that has that line in it. We just change is bad. They lack vision. They don't want to move ahead. Everything, they worry about everything. Probably if you were to see them in the church, they would be kind of like Eeyore. Well, we're going down. Pastor's become a liberal. It's terrible. What are we going to do? Oh, my. Now, typically, I think these kind of believers are often long-term members because, you know, we didn't do it this way. This is not the way it's to be done. And boy, they're just really worried about everything. Now, how do you deal with those kind of people? Now, again, this is personal to me because I've had people come to me like this. How do I deal with them? Just rake them over the coals. You're not right with God, and if you were, you'd get... Right? What does it say? It says to comfort them. Just come alongside and, hey, look, Mark, I know it's a change. I know you've been in this church all of your life, but it's going to be okay. God is still on the throne, okay? We're still doing the right thing. It's going to be okay, you know? It's all right. We know what's going on. It's okay. It's going to be all right. And that's how you deal with those kind of people. You just try to encourage them. Look, you know, it's going to be okay. Things are all right. God still knows what's going on here, you know. And you just encourage them in the Lord. Encourage them in the Lord. So we've got the wayward, we got the worried. Here's the third one. We're moving quickly. We may get done 12 minutes early. He says, warn the unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, and then support the weak. So we got the wayward, they're out of step. They're to be warned. You've got the worried, they're to be encouraged. But we got the weak. Now, what does that mean? Is he talking about people that have to use walkers to get into church and they're really slow and they just, you know, I mean, is that what he's talking about? No. Obviously, we're not talking about physical things. We're talking about spiritually weak. Can anyone think of a passage in the New Testament where Paul talks about weak believers? Offending the weak brother. Yeah, very good. That's the passage. Anyone know where it is? In the Bible. You're exactly right. There are 66 books, Terry. Would you care to give a guess which one it is? Turn to Romans chapter 14. You said, I knew that, but I didn't want to say it and be proud, you know. Romans chapter 14. And I don't want to deal with the whole verse right now, but I want to deal with the context. Romans chapter 14, it says, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye. All right, so here's the same idea. Here's somebody who is weak in the faith. Now, what are they weak about? What, anybody know the context of this passage? What's going on? I heard something. Was that you, Lori?
Yeah.
You're exactly right. Meat offered to idols. Most, if not all, the believers were saved out of idolatry at that point. They were pagans. They had been involved in idol worship. And part of that idol worship, as you remember, was offering meat to idols. And these people got saved out of it. They came out of it. They're believers now. And they go over to Joe's house to eat. Not this Joe. He's never... Actually, Joe, you're a good cook, aren't you? Don't you cook? A lot of cornbread. Good. Well, cornbread doesn't help my illustration. We need some kind of meat, so... Deer jerky? Really? All right. So here we go over to Joe's house and he's got some deer jerky made up there and we're sitting down to eat this stuff. We're out on his patio there and just having a great time. And just offhand, one of these new believers says, hey, Joe, where'd you get this meat? Oh, well, It's the meat that they offer to the idols, and you know, but it's great meat, and we just cooked it up. And this guy says, and he spits it out, and he hacks, and he coughs, and he, what? This is idol meat? I won't eat idol meat that's been offered to idols. No way. Well, what's the problem there? The problem is they have a weak faith. See, they were involved with this in idolatry, and they've not come to the point in their Christian life where they realize that, you know what, this meat is okay because idols are nothing. And so the meat offered to idols is nothing. Okay, that's the context. And that's what we're talking about really is believers who just, their faith is weak. And because of their past, things they've been involved with in the past, there's just certain things in the Christian life that they just can't handle because of their past life. Okay? Now, what do we typically want to do with those kind of people? Well, maybe. But if somebody has a belief that you think is wrong, what do you typically want to do?
Argue.
You want to argue. You want to show them, hey, look, man, you're an idiot. It's an idol. Idols are nothing. This is great beef or deer jerky. You need to eat it. There's nothing wrong at all with this. Now, you're in Romans chapter 14. Notice what it says. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye. Now notice. But not to doubtful disputations. Okay? Now, here's what happens. We are believers. We've been saved for 40 years, and we know the Word of God, and we know these guys. There's nothing wrong with this deer jerky. I mean, goodness gracious, it's good stuff. And there's nothing. And so we begin to argue with them and say, look, it's just an idol. It's nothing. It's dead. Idols are nothing. So the meat is fine. You can eat it. And so they begin to eat it, and they offend their conscience. And we cause them in their mind to sin and do wrong. He said, don't do that. Don't do that. He said, you shouldn't do that. In fact, he says, you need to uphold them. You need to help them. And I was going to read all of Romans chapter 14, but I don't think I'm going to. But because I think you've got the gist of it. Of the idea here. These are weak believers. Now look back in 1 Thessalonians. And what are we supposed to do with these people? What does it say? Support them. Support them. Now, I tell you what, hold your place there and turn to Galatians 1 or Galatians chapter 6. We will read this. Galatians chapter 6. And this is a different context, but it again shows us how we deal with people who are struggling. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. You pick them up, you help them, and then verse 2, you bear them up, or bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. You pick them up, you hold them up, you support them, you help them in their weakness. Now, there are other applications here. A believer who's struggling with faith. You know, I just don't know if this is true. I just, you don't rake them over the coals. You hold them up. You help them. You minister to them. So we have some believers who are weak in the faith. And again, there are several applications there. There's a very clear one in Romans chapter 14 where these folks were saved out of paganism and they really were struggling with what is allowable now as a believer. I think we can also make the application for someone who is kind of like the second group, and they're struggling with their faith all the time. Just not sure. You know, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. I'm not sure if God's word is true. I'm not sure if I can trust it. And they're just really struggling. And what do you do? Again, you don't knock them over the head. You don't berate them. You don't give them 27 sermons to listen to. You try to encourage them in the Lord. You uplift them. You help them. Okay? So, the wayward, the word of the weak. Look at the next one. And this is a little tougher to see. And it said, be patient toward all men. Now, you say, well, what's the point? What kind of people are they? Well, what kind of people are we typically impatient with?
All men.
All men. There you go. Is that a personal testimony? Or that's why you've got those donkeys out of your house, those mules. Aren't there certain people that just kind of try your patience? Now, don't look at your husband or wife, okay? We don't want to do any marital counseling this week. But in the church, undoubtedly, there are people that, you know, you work with and you work with and you work with. And boy, just, it's just difficult, you know? It just really makes you weary. And nothing seems to be moving ahead. I mean, you give your time and you give your time and you give your money, and they just kind of like they're in a quagmire and they're just sitting there. And if you've worked with believers long, you know what I'm talking about. And you pour time and time and time and time and money and money and money and effort and effort, and it's just like nothing, you know. You move 10 steps ahead and they move one, you know, and it's just goodness gracious. The Lord had some guys that followed him that were kind of like that. Now think about the apostles. These are guys that were with the Lord for 3 years. They heard him preach all the sermons. They saw all the miracles. They even took part in some of the miracles. And yet, when they're out on the sea and the storm came, what did they do? We're all gonna die, right? These guys panic, and the Lord calms the sea, and what does he say to them? O ye of little faith, wherefore did you doubt? Same thing happened with the feeding the 5,000. And these guys are all sitting around, and the Lord said, we got to feed all these people, and what are they doing? They're counting their change, you know, they're doing a survey of who's got food in the crowd, they're doing all these physical things, and the Lord says, oh, ye of little faith. Come on, guys. Let's go. Get your act together. Grow up spiritually. What's the deal? Now, how do you deal with those kind of people? You smack them upside the head. You get a 2x4. That doesn't work. You get a 4x4. And that doesn't work. Get a 4x6. I mean, just haul off and knock. Isn't that what you do with your mule? You have mules, Dave? You have donkeys. Isn't that how you... He's got one. We were over there visiting him one day, and he's got one little one, and that's a crazy thing. If you turned your back on it, he was going to bite you, and I made sure that never happened. And they were building his barn. I was going to grab one of those 4x4s, and I'll teach him to bite me. Wouldn't faze him, probably. But that's kind of how we want to deal with those kind of people, too, isn't it? But what does it say? We need to be patient with them. Now, how patient are we to be with people? You know, Peter came to the Lord and said, how many times should we forgive somebody? 7 times? Now, what was he thinking when he said that? That's pretty good, isn't it? I mean, 7 times. I mean, good night. If Johnson comes up to me and smacks me in the face and I say, hey, that's okay, buddy. I know you've got some issues and it'll be all right, you know, And you know, the second time he comes up and I say, well, that's okay, you know. And the third time, I'm never getting to 7, you know. Probably not. Probably not. And the Lord answered Peter, what did he say? No, not 7 times. Said 70 times 7. And what was he actually saying to him? Unending forgiveness. Wow. That's the kind of patience, by the way. We are to be patient with people like the Lord has been patient with us. How patient has the Lord been with you? That's That's the kind of patience and endurance we're to have. By the way, there's another word for this in the Word of God, one of my favorite words. Long-suffering. Where do you see that word in the Bible? One of the fruit of the Spirit. When you are Spirit-controlled, you will be a patient person who endures and endures and is patient and is long-suffering and is long-suffering. That's what he's asking us to do, folks. With these people that are wearisome, the ones that drive you crazy, he said you need to be patient. Now, there's one other group in verse 15. See that none render evil for evil unto any man. All right, here's the flat-out wicked people. Okay, we've seen the wayward, the worried, the weak, the wearisome. Here's the wicked ones. They're doing evil. You know, they done you wrong, okay? Let's take a brief survey, scientific survey. How many of you in a church somewhere have had someone who has done you wrong? Okay? All right. It happens because people are unbelievers. Did you know there are unbelievers in the church? There's also sinners in the church. People are saved by grace. And this word has the idea of evil, meanness, or wickedness. And there are some southern words that I just really like. Hurtful is a good one. Don't you think that's a good word? And people do things and say things that hurt you. Now, just to be honest, I kind of expect it from the unsaved guy that you hand a tract to and he spits in your face or he throws it and tears it up. Yeah, that's understandable. He's unsaved. But a believer? Now, these kinds of things happen. So how do you respond? If someone in the church hurts you, whether it's with speech, usually it's not physically, they say something about you to somebody else, they say something to you, and they hurt you, how are we supposed to respond? Now notice what it says. You say, wait a minute, Gary, the Bible says an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And they did that to me, and I'm going to do the exact same thing to them. Now what does the Bible say? Here it says, see that none render evil for evil unto any man. Think how many church problems that would solve. Because typically when somebody says something about me, my response is going to be, yeah, but they're a jerk. And that's why they said that. In fact, I can tell you some things they've done that you probably don't know. Now, we kind of dealt with this last week. We talked about peace in the church. But he said, don't do that. Don't do that. They did this to me, so I'm going to... No, in fact, in Romans chapter 12, boy, it's just so clear. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. Don't take vengeance. Now, there's a strange phrase he says, but rather give place unto wrath. You know what that means? That means get out of the way and let God take care of it. Give place to wrath. I think that's God's wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. You know what you ought to do when somebody hurts you? But the rest of the verse goes on to say, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, give him deer jerky. There you go. Feed him. Is that what you want to do when somebody hurts you? You hear via the grapevine that somebody said something about you and you just can't believe it. And so you go to that person, you say, hey, I'd like to bring you a meal this week. By the way, what does the Word of God talk about? It says you're heaping coals of fire on your... How do you think they'd feel? They know what they said. And they know you know now. and you say, hey, brother, boy, I just want you to know I love you. And just, hey, let's go out tonight afterward. I'm going to get you a milkshake. I'm going to get you a blizzard down at Dairy Queen. He said, look, you feed him. If he's thirsty, you give him to drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with what? Good. And look at the rest of verse 15. See that none render evil for evil in any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. We use the phrase, kill them with kindness. That's probably not quite right. Maybe it should be win them with kindness. Now look, the last 2 weeks, really, we have talked about the church. And we saw last week our responsibility to the pastor. We saw our responsibility to the pastor in living at peace, but it's also our responsibility to each other. But now we see these five different groups of people, and he said, now this is the way you should deal with them. Now, if we will deal with people the way it says to in verse 14 and 15, then we will have the peace of verse 13. It is when Tom Cole does something to hurt me and I say, well, I'll show Tom Cole. Then we got trouble. Now, there are all kinds of people at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. We're all different. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Wouldn't it be just terrible if we're all the same, you know? We're all the same. We're all different. We all have different strengths. We all have different weaknesses. Now, God is encouraging every one of us to minister to each other. Minister to each other. Do it in love. It may be coming alongside somebody who's weak and just picking them up and encouraging them in the Lord and say, hey, it's okay. It's okay. It may be warning someone who is wayward and say, look, you know, I love you. I just want you to know if you continue on this path, you know, bad things are waiting around the corner. It may be treating someone who's been kind or been mean to you to be kind to them. There's a specific way to deal with specific kinds of people. Now, look, if we'll do it, we'll have a wonderful church. We'll have a church with unity, a church full of people who love each other, a church full of people who are helping each other, a church that will be growing spiritually and numerically. But to have it happen, folks, I've got to take my mind off of what I want and what my needs are, and I've got to look around and I've got to say, boy, there's a need. Boy, there's a need. I need to help that person. I need to come alongside that person. I need to minister to them in love. And when that happens, people are changed. And when people are changed, the church is changed. And the church becomes what God wants it to be. And then you have a church that can experience the blessing of God. That's our responsibility. Now, again, let me encourage you. Do it being led by the Spirit. Don't have the attitude, well, old Johnson, I was playing ball with him today, and boy, he just, Johnson, you need to get your act together. That's not the way to do it. That's not the way to do it. But to minister to one another, come alongside and help them in love. Being aware that if you're not careful, you could fall too. You do it in meekness. You do it as you're led by the Spirit of God. I wonder today, has God laid someone on your heart that you need to minister to? God has shown us how to do it. We just need to obey His word. And do it as the Spirit leads us. Okay? All right. Lord, we do thank you for your word. Again, extremely practical passage this morning. right where we live. Help us to be Spirit-filled believers who are ministering to those around us, lifting them up, encouraging them, praying for them, being good to them. God, help us to get our eyes and our minds off of ourselves and to get them on someone else, we pray, that we can help them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Great. Thank you.